Kia ora, tēnā koutou, nō mai, haere mai. Welcome to Amran's Podcast, episode 168. Today is Monday, July 27th, 2009. The multiple greeting at the start of this episode was because today is the start of Māori Language Week, which is an annual event celebrating the Māori language. I last talked about it 2 years ago. I thought I talked about it last year, but apparently I didn't. And so I'll talk a little bit about that today, not in any great detail, because I already have. Mostly I just wanted to give some updates about the weekend and things that I'm up to and so on. And, you know, one of the best things about podcasts and personal journal podcasts in particular is that we're not bound by the normal rules of broadcasting, including we don't have to have any content, and I certainly don't today. No, I'm joking. Okay, this weekend we went down to Pairoa for Nigel's mom's birthday. She turned 74. And family got together and just sort of had a shared lunch kind of thing. And we stayed the night at her house. And I'll tell you, it was bloody cold. You know, people often say that rural New Zealand is the real New Zealand. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration because most people live in cities. But it is certainly true that her house was typical of houses from that era or earlier. So her house would have been built 1980-ish, 85, somewhere in there. And at that point, I don't think there was a requirement for any insulation in the houses at all, as far as I know. There certainly wouldn't be any in the walls. And it was cold. There's also obviously no central heat, because typically Kiwi houses then, at least, were built without central heat. So it was cold, and I came to decide that I'm no longer going to complain about the cold weather in Auckland in wintertime, because it's nothing compared to that. And Jake was wedged up between Nigel and me all night long trying to stay warm as he was cold. But he had a big weekend because our niece and nephew were going to be dog-sitting a puppy overnight. It was a Jack Russell Fox Terrier cross. And that thing was wired. It did not stop. It kept going. And it decided that Jake's fluffy tail was a perfect thing to play with. So he kept chomping down on Jake's tail and usually just getting a mouthful of fluff. But occasionally he would connect with the real thing. And after a while, Jake got really annoyed and he went, "Arr!" But he didn't bite him or anything, didn't attack him. But we did eventually pick him up and hold him in our laps so that he could kind of, you know, have a bit of a release. Well, after everybody left, he was really quite relieved, I think. And he was like, "Whew, that's done." And the next day, we got up. It was just Nigel and me and his mom and Jake, of course. And we eventually went over to this niece and nephew's house because they were having some computer issues and Nigel was going to sort it out for them. And, of course, the puppy was still there. And again, Jake, after just a short time, had had enough. So I ended up picking him up and holding him in my lap so that he could sort of, you know, relax. But it was a lovely weekend. It was a nice time. It's not that far a drive, really. It's about an hour and a half or so from here. And apart from the cold, the weather was beautiful. It was bright and sunny both Saturday and Sunday. So that was really quite nice. And it was a beautiful day yesterday. It was a beautiful day today, for that matter. But today doesn't have a whole lot to to talk about. Jake was pretty quiet all morning long today. He spent most of his sleeping. He slept in my lap all the way back to Auckland in the car. And I think he's starting to get back to normal now. He's barking at kids in the park and things. I, however, am not feeling so well. I feel like I'm coming down with a cold, which could be because it was cold. I don't know. So I don't know. We'll see how we go. Now I've got a lot on tomorrow, which is why I'm recording on Monday instead of Tuesday. And I don't know for sure when Jason and I are going to be doing Too Political. It'll be later this week. So there may or may not be another Amran's podcast this week. Probably won't, but there may be. So don't be surprised if one comes down the tubes. Now, in the last episode, I was talking about travel. And I'm not going to really add a whole lot to that at this stage, except to say that in that episode, in the show notes, I had a link to the Lord of the Rings location guidebook. Would it kill you people to click on that link? No, I'm an Amazon associate, and I checked, and three people actually did click through. Nobody bought it, but they did click through. And don't worry about buying it. I mean, if you do, I get something like, 10 cents or something for every book sold? It's like nothing. I just actually just put it in there for convenience and so you could see what I was talking about. I used to do that with songs sometimes too. If I referred to a song, I would put the Amazon link so that people could see what I was talking about, and books for that matter too. It wasn't so much so that people would buy it, just so that sometimes it's hard for me to explain what I'm talking about, and it helps to have a visual for people to refer to. And so that's why I do it from time to time. But speaking of things that do help, I've been meaning to mention this. Now, I don't talk about iTunes reviews anymore because I think the whole thing is silly. And the rankings in iTunes are put together by some strange cult, I think. It makes no sense whatsoever. But I did stumble across something that actually is helpful. And that is, if you go to iTunes Store, you don't have to have an account or anything to do this. And you just type in AMERINZ until Amarin's podcast shows up on the list. This is in the search bar in iTunes for iTunes Store. And go down to my podcast and just go to the page. You don't have to do anything once you get there. The reason for that is that it makes it show up higher in the list than whenever anybody else starts typing it in. And the reason that's helpful is because if anybody hears the podcast or hears of it and wants to kind of check it out, they can go to iTunes Store and just start typing that in, and it will come up as one of the top hits, if you will. And that is useful. And that you can do wherever you are in the world. You don't, as I say, you don't have to have an iTunes Store account to do that, unlike reviews and ratings. And that is something that's practical and helpful, unlike probably, as much as I appreciate the positive ratings and reviews, they probably don't really affect things that much. The search thing does. So just a little fun thing. And you can do that for any of your favorite podcasts, by the way. It will help them show up in the search rankings higher. But anyway, back to Māori Language Week. Now, it is a celebration of the Māori language, which is one of the two official languages in New Zealand. And I did talk about it 2 years ago, and from time to time I bring it up, mention it. And I've also said before that Māori people, there's no actual legal definition of who is and who isn't Māori. And that's true. It's not like there's any kind of percentage of Māori blood you have to have before you can be considered Māori. However, in order to have any of the legal benefits of being Māori, like, for instance, enrolling on the Māori electoral roll, you have to be registered with one of the tribes. And in order to do that, you have to have what's called your whakapapa, which means genealogy. Not just your parents, but their parents and their parents and their parents, going all the way back as much as possible to get all of your tribes and sub-tribes and so on accounted for. And then you can register with the relevant tribes and sub-tribes in some cases. And that you have to do in order to be a beneficiary to any treaty settlements under the Treaty of Waitangi. And to be, in a legal sense, Māori, you really do have to do that. Now, there's no compulsion to do it. And it's not like, you know, people are legally required to register with the tribe. You don't have to if you are Māori. But for the legal rights and benefits that come with being Māori, that's how you do it. And I was trying to figure out a way of explaining how you can... It's not like any old person could call themselves Māori. Obviously, they have to have some ancestry, and that's how you go about establishing that, by doing your genealogical research and then recording that and sending that to the tribe, which maintains a register of all of the people who are descended from that tribe. Now, the tribes originally go back to legend, essentially, where there were these original canoes that sailed to New Zealand, and those are the main tribes today. And so theoretically, all of the Māori in New Zealand can trace their ancestry back to those original canoes, like Nigel says, Tainui, for instance. But there's obviously some dispute whether there were ever originally any number of particular canoes, or if it was, you know, several migrations or what have you. Scientists are divided on that. And as we know, very often oral tradition and legend can't necessarily be relied on for scientific proof and that sort of thing. But that's how people establish themselves as Māori, which I haven't talked about in any great detail before. Now, I think the only thing I'm going to say about Māori is that, the Māori language, that is that I'm going to put a link in the show notes to something I did 2 years ago, which is a webpage from New Zealand History Online, which is called 100 Māori Words Every New Zealander Should Know. And it gives you an idea of some of the words, and there's also a little player right next to it, to each word, except one I noticed is missing. Anyway, you just click on that, and it will pronounce it for you, so you can see how these words are pronounced. And some of them I mention from time to time A lot of them I've probably never mentioned. Some of them I have no idea what they mean. But if you're at all curious about the Maori language, it's probably as good a way as any, I think, to find out about what words are and what they mean. But it certainly won't give you any sort of fluency in the language or necessarily even sort of an understanding of language. But you never know. But I thought that I might actually share a few words with you, ones that I will probably mispronounce, but you can go and get them corrected yourself. One is kapu, which is womb. That's very useful for me. But there's also raho, which is testicles. There's tau, which is anus. And there's ure, which is penis. You never know when those words might come in handy. I don't know any Maori swear words. I've never learned any. And I don't know why that's not more common. You think people would be swearing in Maori more than in English, but apparently they're so unreluctant to swear in English that they don't need to swear in Maori. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Now, the other thing I wanted to do, I don't have any comments for this episode, or the previous one. So I'm going to back up a couple, which I don't normally do, just because I can. But as I said, this week I think this is the only Amerinds podcast for this week. So you've got some time to give your messages and phone messages and so on. But I am going to do that older episode. Now it's episode 161, which was called Have and Have Not, and it was from June 23rd. So it was before Pride 48, actually. And the comment was from Ramble Redhead, who said, "Another great show, very interesting. I thought your point was great when it came to why you were leaving one place to go to another. I've talked with friends over the years who felt that if they moved to a new place, things would be different, but often they have the same problems just farther away." And stopping for a minute there, part of what he's talking about is when I was saying that I think it's better to move to something rather than away from something. And I've always felt that way. And I always, fortunately in my life, I've always been moving to something. But I think that Tom raises a really good point there, that if you move to a place expecting all of your problems to fall away, chances are you're going to be greatly disappointed. And I don't just mean as an expat. I mean even if you just move to another part of the country, that problems don't go away just because you change your location. I mean, some things may change. You will probably have different friends, hang around different people. But that doesn't mean that any major problems are suddenly going to disappear just because you find yourself somewhere else. It's best to find out, if you're having some sort of issues, it's probably best to find out why and try to deal with that rather than take the more drastic step of moving. He goes on, "It is amazing the things you don't have in New Zealand, but as I'm sure with time you have learned to adapt, and as I have, to go from eating meat to trying vegetarian food, but I still miss certain items." And he says, "No root beer and pumpkin? What the fuck?" "The only type of bacon I used to like is crispy bacon. Thanks for the shout out." And of course, part of the reason why I'm reading this is so it gives me a chance to point out again that Tom the Ramble Redhead's 300th episode is coming up very shortly. And that's certainly something that he should be very proud of. But Tom is absolutely right that I have learned to adapt. If there's certain things that I couldn't find, I just found substitutes or learned to live without them, which is actually easier than you might think. But on the subject of food, this weekend, we were asked probably half a dozen, well, maybe not half a dozen times, several times, if we tried Mr. Cheese. I bet you thought that story was going away, didn't you? But as I thought, everyone who tried it thought it was disgusting. All the Kiwis who tried it thought it was disgusting. So I don't think that product has a really long longevity here in New Zealand, unless the drunken youths catch onto it and start spraying it into their mouths, as drunken frat boys did when I was in university. But anyway. And we, of course, as I said, don't have root beer or pumpkin, but it is possible, of course, to make a pumpkin pie with, pumpkin, not the tin stuff. But I've tried it once and it was a disaster and I haven't tried it since. I've since gotten better recipes and better instructions because I actually tried that many, many years ago before the internet had advanced as far as it has now. This is a true story. I'm not lying. And So I suspect that maybe the recipes would be a bit better now than what I had at the time, because I just had one cookbook. Since then, I've been able to look at several sites on the web and get what I think are better instructions on how to do it. Now, also related to expat things, pardon me, I have not offered advice on applying for residence in New Zealand through this podcast, and I won't be doing that. But I especially won't be doing it now because the government is cracking down on people who are offering immigration advice without a license, because now immigration consultants have to be licensed in New Zealand. What all I do, of course, is talk about my experience as an expat, the things that I've seen, the things that I've experienced, my impressions, stuff like that. If you have any thoughts about immigrating to New Zealand, the best thing to do to work out the legal requirements and all of that is to go to Immigration New Zealand and do your assessments and all that sort of stuff. And there's – actually, I don't think there's a link on the podcast. I'll have to put one on there. There is in my blog. Yeah, I'll have to put that on somewhere. But I do not and cannot offer immigration advice through the podcast because that would be acting – acting as an immigration consultant without a license. And part of the reason I say that is because the government sent a cease and desist order to a website called Move to NZ. And it was for that. That was what they accused them of doing, offering immigration advice without a license. Even though they didn't do that, they just had sort of a migrants advice area and service. But the government didn't see it that way, and they're still trying to sort it out. And who knows, they may get it resolved, but I'm certainly not prepared to go down that road. So, but I have talked in the past about some of the things that, as an expat, that one has to be aware of. And it's also true for people who just move very far away from where they're from. Say, somebody from Maine who moves to California or something. There are things you have to be prepared for. Like, for instance, that you can't necessarily go home in the case of an accident or illness or death. You may be able to, you may not be able to. I personally think that it's probably more difficult for somebody who's in their 20s, say, perhaps not established in their careers yet, to be able to drop everything and fly home for a funeral or to be with somebody or something. As you get a bit older, you may have more financial means to do it, but still may not be able to get away. But the other thing, too, is that because, especially if you move as far away as I did, what very often happens is you sort of get out of the loop and you don't necessarily know things are going on. And I have a story to illustrate that. I have a friend who was a woman from my high school class. And we were casual friends in high school, not, you know, good friends or anything, but enough to have a chat. And she was always nice to me and I liked her. And I actually didn't know anybody who didn't. And but we, you know, left high school and went our separate ways and I didn't talk to her. Well, just before the first time Nigel and I went to Chicago, well, the U.S. in general, they were beginning to organize our 20th high school reunion. And so I ended up in touch with her again over that. We emailed back and forth for quite a while. When we went to America for that first time, my friends had a Welcome to America party for Nigel because he'd never been there at that point. And she was there with another my high school friend, and actually one of my best friends was there as well. And so we visited. It was a great time. And we emailed for a while again after that, but then just sort of drifted apart. And then when I got back yesterday, I was checking my email, and I got an email from that friend I was talking about, one of my best friends, who told me that this woman had died about a week earlier. She apparently had a massive heart attack. Now, we weren't good enough friends that I would have flown home just to go to the funeral. But I probably would have sent flowers or something had I known about it. But I didn't even find out about it until a few hours after the memorial service was already over. And that's the kind of thing that can happen if you move far away, especially if you move to the other side of the world like I did. It's not all the fact that you may not have the means to travel back for something like that or the time. It can also simply be that you don't even know about it. And sometimes that's a bit hard to get used to. It's not the being out of the loop so much, but it's almost like an event like that, which is quite sudden and unexpected, can hit harder because you find out about it after the fact and when it's too late to do anything about it. Now, as it happens, the other high school friend who was at the at that party, who came with the, my friend who died, she and I have been emailing back and forth about all this. And so that was good that we've reestablished contact anyway. But it's just, I like to remind people that there is more to moving to another country than just the adventure of it. The excitement of a new life and a new place and learning new customs and cultures and things like that. There are drawbacks and there are potential negatives that people ought to be aware of as well. And I don't talk about it all that often, partly because I haven't, fortunately for me, I haven't had that many negative experiences like that in the 13 plus years I've been here. And I've been lucky, I think. But it is something that I think anyone contemplating a big move should keep in mind, especially as we get older and our friends and particularly family are also getting older. It may not be something you want to risk. There are a lot of reasons why Nigel and I haven't moved to another country. Among them are the fact that Nigel's mom is 74 years old, and his sisters and brothers are all here, of course, and their children. Well, his one brother died quite young, 37, he died. And you just don't know what life holds ahead of you. Now, my parents, of course, have already passed away. And so I didn't have that sort of thing. But my brother and sister are still living in the U.S. And, of course, I have a lot of friends in the U.S., some quite close friends who are living in the U.S. And so these are things that I have to keep in mind. And I said before that I always try to keep a high enough available balance on the credit card that if there should be an emergency and I had to go back, I would have the cash, the financial means to do it, even though I obviously have trouble paying it off later, potentially. And that certainly is a strategy. But it's times like this when I am reminded of those more negative aspects of being an expat so far away from my homeland. And I thought it might not be a bad idea to sort of remind people of that, and also just of the fact that don't put off until tomorrow and what you can do today, especially where other people are concerned. About a week or so ago, maybe a bit longer, I was going through my email address book looking for somebody's contact information, and I saw her name there and her email address, and I thought, oh, I really should email her, but for whatever reason, I didn't. And of course, now I can't. So that's the other lesson to be drawn from the story, I think. Well, isn't that an uplifting sentiment? Yeah, well, I don't want to leave it on a Debbie Downer spot. So, what else can I tell you before we go? I said that the weather was great today, and yeah, that's about that. I'm just stalling now so I don't leave it quite on such a dark note. yes. I was on Archer Radio's group show last week, as I thought I would be, and we did talk a bit about the internet filtering. Not in any great detail, but we did some. I mean, it may come up again in the future, I'm not sure. There are some stories that are developing in the news in New Zealand that relate to New Zealand politics, which I'll talk about another time, partly because they haven't quite played themselves out yet. But I don't talk about New Zealand politics often, partly because I know some people don't care for the politics. And also because you probably have no idea what I'm talking about and probably don't even care. But I talk about those things that are in some way related to the U.S. or potentially people who might want to move here for whatever reason. Because, you know, it's good to be aware of what's going on. But that is it for today, I think. I just wanted to share those few things and also the Debbie Downer part. Sorry about that. But As I said, I will be back later this week at some stage with a Too Political and probably not back with a regular podcast until the week after, which coincidentally is also the busiest week of the month for me, and I'm not sure how often I'm going to be podcasting that week. Maybe once, maybe twice. We'll see. I just don't know. Just don't know. But that's it for today. I hope you have a great rest of the week, and I will see you later this week with a Too Political. Bye. Oh, hare ra. That's what I meant to say. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed on a Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.